name's Michelle O'Woo and I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date today is the 2nd of September 2009 and the time is 1:13 a.m. Could you tell me your name, your age and where you come from, please?
Right, my name is Terry Brotherhood. I'm 63 and I come from Croydon.
Did you get him from Croydon last night? When did you come in? When did you come to?
To here? Tonight. Or last night, I suppose now.
Did you drive him?
No, I came by train. Last train from Croydon to Charing Cross.
And how are you feeling right now?
More relaxed than I was earlier in the day, but still slightly nervous.
Is there anything in particular you're nervous about?
Not really. I think once I get up there, it'll be better.
Would you describe what you're wearing for me, please?
Yes, well, it's commonly known as a gnome's costume. It has green trousers, a red top, white sleeves, and I'm wearing black wellies.
And you've also brought along a hat and other accoutrements, haven't you?
Oh yes, I've got the full Monty, as they say. Beard, wig, all in white, of course, because gnomes always have white beards and white hair. I've got a little pond and a fishing rod, a little toadstool to sit on, because I've got to sit down, because I can't, you know, at my age, I can't be standing on top of a plinth in the middle of Trafalgar Square for too long. I've got to think of my age, really, at that point, haven't I?
Can you remember how you first heard about this project?
Yes, I think I saw an advert in the paper, some article or another in the newspaper.
Was that a local paper?
No, I think it was a national paper.
What was it, do you think, about this project that appealed to you? Why did you decide you wanted to take part?
Initially to do something different, but also to get back at a group of friends that have been buying me gnomes for the last 30 years. Every birthday, Christmas, anniversary, you name it, they gnome it.
Why do they buy you? How did that start?
I don't know. It might have been when we were together once, probably 30 years ago, and I had a habit of dropping off to sleep. And sometimes I would wake up and say things. And on that particular occasion, I probably said, gnome. I mean, I did the same thing once with a rocking horse, and I said, rocking horse, and they started to buy me rocking horses.
And have you still got this habit of saying random words when you wake up?
I don't think so, not as far as I know, but others may say different.
Have you kept all the gnomes that they've given you over the years?
Yes, I have. They're all the things, there's photographs, there's things that they've made, there's loads of gnomes. Some of them have broken because they spent their time out in the garden, as they would, and some of them have broken so they had to go because they're no good to gnome nor beast.
Have you got a garden at home?
Yes.
For the gnomes?
Well, not just for the gnomes. You know, it's for me as well.
Have you got a large collection of gnomes in the garden as well as in the house?
Not a large collection. There are a few in the garden. Probably about 8 or 9, I would guess. The ones that would weather well.
Did you like or dislike gnomes before this started?
I dislike them, and I still do. That's the whole reason, one of the main reasons for doing this, so that I can get back at them and hopefully stop them buying me gnomes.
Do any of your friends know that you're taking part?
Yes, the group that buy the gnomes know that I'm taking part. Unfortunately, they couldn't come tonight because two of them, there's four of them in all, but two of them are on holiday, and the other one, the other one has just had a knee replacement. In fact, she came out of hospital today, so she couldn't come, and her husband's with her, and he's not very well anyway, so he couldn't be here at 2 o'clock in the morning.
But they'll be able to watch later on.
They'll be able to watch it later on, if they so wish.
Do any members of your family know what you're doing?
Yes, my two daughters. One's not too keen, the other one thought it's great. my mother-in-law knows. That's about it, really, I think.
Could you tell me a bit more about, we were talking about this before the interview, what you do for a living?
Yes, I work for Tube Lines, who operate the Jubilee, Northern and Piccadilly lines in London. I've been working for them for about 4 or 5 years, 4 years I think to be exact. Quite enjoyable.
What is your role involved? What do you get up to?
Well, I'm now reports manager, so I report to senior management on the activities of our field engineers and field staff, in other words, the maintenance staff. They send their reports in to me and I do things with those reports, statistics and things like that, and then fire them off to loads of other people.
And whereabouts are you based?
I'm based primarily at St Catherine's Dock in London, but I also work out of Canary Wharf as well. We have an office there and I'm there once or twice a week.
You currently live in Croydon, is that right?
Yes, yeah.
How long have you been there?
How long have we been in Croydon? 39 years. 39 years, I have to think about that now. 39 years.
Where were you before then?
Clapham Common.
So you've always been in London?
Always been in London and all around, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that where you were born, Clapham?
I was, yes, yeah. Yeah.
Mm. What prompted the move to Croydon?
Cost primarily. It was cheaper, 39 years ago, it was cheaper to buy a house in the Croydon area, which was then seemed a long way from where we lived, you know, in Clapham, in that area, seemed an awful long way, than it was to buy in our own area, either Clapham, Streatham, you know, those sorts of areas that we would have ordinarily have gone to. It was far too expensive in those areas, so we moved to Croydon and we've been there ever since, really.
Has it changed much since you've been there, the 39 years that you've been there?
Part of it has and part of it hasn't. Although we're not in the centre of Croydon, we're about 3 or 4 miles outside. So we're sort of a bit further into the country. That hasn't changed at all, really. But certainly Croydon has changed partially. There are lots of new buildings, but still lots of the old ones that were there originally, the skyscrapers that were there, that was sort of different in their time. You know, they were. Croydon was a place of skyscrapers when perhaps London, the centre of London, didn't have them then.
Why was that?
I think it was a place where businesses, they built the office blocks for businesses to move out of London for cheaper office space, really, cheaper accommodation. That was one of the sort of first places London-based companies moved to, and yet they were still close to London, close enough to London to be able to you know, do their business, and also obviously in the opposite direction, were fairly close to Gatwick Airport as well, you know, if they needed to go overseas. So it was a good sort of place to be.
And were you working in the transport industry before you took on this particular role that you have now?
Yes, I was, yes. I used to work for a company called AMEC Rail, which was primarily doing work for the National Rail Network, you know, Network Rail or Rail Track, you know, British Rail, that sort of company. I was a bid manager there, which meant that I quoted for new works, really. That's what it amounted to. You know, I did all the quotes for new works, or some of the quotes for new works, not all of them, because there were other people doing it as well.
Did you get free travel?
No. I didn't join them soon enough. People that get free travel on the National Rail, they would have had to have been with them prior to privatisation, which was somewhere around 1996. And the same really applied to London Underground as well. You know, people that, any new staff that are taken on, don't get those privileges, you know, because they're obviously costly, you know. It sounds simple, you just give them a free pass, but there's a cost attached to it. Somebody has to lose money, you know, the actual train operators have to be paid. So in Network Rail's case, they have to pay the train operator for that person's travel. And it's that simple, you know, it's to do with cost.
What do you do when you're not working? What do you like to do?
Have nothing to do with gnomes to start with, but I do watercolour painting, I play bowls, do a bit of cycling, we just bought a couple of bikes, and quite a bit of walking. That's about it, really. And I've got two grandchildren as well. So,
whereabouts do they live?
They live in Croydon as well. Well, just literally around the corner from where we live. So.
When did you get into the painting?
About 5 years ago. Started about 5 years ago, so not too long ago. Just something I fancied doing. But I've only ever done watercolour painting. I don't do any other. I've never done any other sort of painting. You know, I haven't done pastels, acrylics, oils. I'm quite happy doing watercolours. I enjoy watercolours.
So what, did you just go and buy a set, teach yourself?
Initially I went to a local class, a local artist that ran a class. He then gave up. I then started to go to another class that was quite good, and then obviously practiced myself in between. I don't currently go to a class because the person that I last went to has given up doing classes because he does watercolour painting on cruise ships. So he found that he couldn't sort of fit in the classes, so he started to do that more and more now. So it meant that he gave up doing lessons, really.
What sort of things do you like to paint?
In the main, landscapes, anything with water in it. Buildings, quite like buildings, landscapes with buildings in it, farms, houses, that sort of thing. Not people or objects, not fruit, flowers or anything like that.
So do you take, when you travel around or you're on holiday, out and about, do you take your...
Yes, I do. Yeah, I've always usually got a sketchbook with me. Not today, strangely enough, because I thought I might be a little bit busy. Gnomes don't tend to draw or paint. They've got other things to do. They fish a lot, particularly at night. And they have to tend the garden, of course, a lot of the rest of the time, keep things tidy. So I wouldn't have had time for drawing or painting.
How do you describe yourself as a person? You had to do a little thumbnail sketch of yourself.
Probably relatively shy. Probably a little bit miserable. That's about it, really, I suppose. Shy and miserable.
How does your being miserable, how does that manifest itself? Does anything make you miserable?
Not in particular, no. I think that's my character. I'm just sort of probably a little bit grumpy. In fact, I'm probably a grumpy gnome, really, come to think of it.
But appropriate.
Very.
And it's interesting that you say you're shy, and yet you are going up on the plinth in Trafalgar Square.
Yes. Odd, isn't it? But then again, you see, I didn't actually think I was going to get a place when I applied on impulse. I just did it. I didn't tell my wife. I didn't tell anybody. I just went. I did it online. Went back into the room and I said, "I've just applied to go on the plinth in Trafalgar Square." And they really didn't believe me at first. I said, "I've done it," but not thinking any more of it really, because I didn't honestly believe I would get a place. I suppose on reflection, somebody's got to get a place. But I really, I suppose, with the thousands of people that apply, you don't actually think it's going to be you. So I was quite surprised when I actually got the place.
How did you feel when you heard you had the place?
I suppose I almost initially thought, what have I done? I'm not so sure that I wanted to carry it out, but having applied, I thought, it's a one and only opportunity. It's a once in a lifetime. I won't ever do it again, probably.
Did you know what you were going to do at that point?
Yes. I did, yes, definitely.
Did you know when you applied that's what you
Oh, yes,
do
yeah. When I actually
do?
Applied, I knew what I was going to be, yes. There was nothing else I could be.
Did you ever, when you were growing up or when you moved out to Croydon, did you ever come to the square much?
Yes, I think when I was younger, I would have done. Yes, I did actually. Yeah, in quite a when the traffic used to go all the way round, and it was quite busy.
What sort of occasions were you there for?
Nothing particular. When we were just probably a lot of the time we were going shopping, you know, Oxford Street. My dad used to work just off of Oxford Street, so we often used to come up and meet him and wander around, you know, looking at the sights or, you know, going shopping, things like that. So we were sort of, because we were, I lived in Clapham, it was only a sort of a tube ride away, it wasn't far away, so we were quite often in town, you know, because it was...
What was your dad doing in Oxford Street?
He was a manager of a shoe repair shop. A little one, a very tiny, oldie-worldy shop. Yeah. Mm.
What's important to you in life at the moment, would you say?
I think my two daughters, my two grandchildren, and my wife, quite frankly. As a family, all of those people are important to me. Mm.
Before this project, you heard about this. Did you know... Had you heard of Anthony Gormley?
No, not at all. Nothing at all. I don't think I'd ever heard of him, as far as I know. No.
What do you think of the idea behind the project? What do you think?
I think it's quite a good idea. It's an opportunity for people to actually either raise money for charity or just do something that they wouldn't ordinarily do in a place where you would never have thought it would be allowed in reality. You know, you wouldn't think that anybody would get permission to do something that's like that that's going on.
Are you surprised that they haven't?
I'm surprised that they've actually allowed it to happen. A little bit unusual that it has been allowed to happen, because normally, you know, governments, local authorities, they don't like that sort of strange things that they don't know what's going to happen, because, you know, until somebody applies to do it, they don't know what they're going to be. So, you know, they could be anything. I know there are certain rules attached, that things that you can't do and not allowed to do, but at the same time, you know, it's totally, really almost free. It's 99% free of what you can do.
Have you watched any of it on the net?
Yes, I have, yes. I've watched a reasonable bit of it from time to time, actually, just to get a snapshot of what's going on and what people are doing.
What kinds of things have you enjoyed, do you think?
Enjoy, I suppose, isn't really the word. Yeah, it's not an enjoyment. It was really out of interest, I suppose, to see whether anybody was doing the same as me, whether anything was any sillier than I was doing, or really just get an idea, a feel for what went on there, and you know, the sort of props they had, that sort of thing. You know, just get a feel for what was going on.
You're looking forward to being the first name on the plane?
I think I am now. I wasn't an hour ago.
That's progress.
That's progress, yes.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
I don't think so, no. I think just think of the great British gnome, that's all I can say. It's a dying breed. But there are places that you can go and see gnomes. There are two places that I know of. There's one up near Colchester that's a gnome reserve, where you can actually go and see gnomes and walk around the gardens and see the gnomes. And there's one down in Cornwall.
How do you know about that?
I've actually been to the one in Colchester. It was a mystery tour organised by the same friends that buy me the gnomes. And we ended up in the gnome reserve in near Colchester.
What did you make of that when you found out where you were going?
Well, what can I say? I thought that was really the end of it then, because I thought they couldn't really better that. But they still continue to buy me gnomes. Very strange place though, lots of gnomes there. But one live one that used to follow us around, peeking out from behind trees, making sure that you weren't taking his little friends.
Thank you very much, Indy.
Okay, thank you.